welcome to It's Hard.
Featuring us, James and Matt.
Welcome to our first episode. It's called Dating. It's Hard.
Well, today we're going to be talking about some of the ups and downs of the relationships that both me and James have experienced over the years and how we can bring people into a better light.
Well, I like to consider myself a relationship expert just because, you know, none of my relationships maybe have gone successfully, but like, you know, I know what not to do. I don't know what to do just yet, but you know, we're going to get there. So, I mean, at least I know what not to do so I can work on bettering myself.
I think we should definitely start with James maybe sharing with our listeners, how many relationships exactly have you been in?
Oh, I don't know an exact number, but
just guess. Price is right it for me.
You know, maybe
ballpark figures.
20 to 30 maybe. So I feel like after 30 I should probably know what the heck I should start doing, but you know, we never learn from our mistakes and we just keep on making them, you know.
I mean, I feel like I have definitely a very interesting perspective because I like to think of myself as having like very clear-cut standards of what I want whenever I start in relationships. Usually I like to stay as, you know, open and honest as possible with a person to kind of give them that sense of what it is that I'm looking for, so that way we're on like the same playing field. So what would you, and you know, James, when you go into a relationship, what do you think your qualifications are? I'd say top three things that you're looking for in a relationship.
I feel like they have to be loyal because, you know, men don't be loyal these days. They have to be funny because I like to think I'm like the funniest person alive. So like they have to match that. And I love laughing, and laughing's good for the soul. And also they have to be independent because, like, you know, we're college students. So like they have to be able to carry their own while I'm dealing with my life and they're dealing with yours. What makes you qualified to talk about relationships, or what are you looking for in a relationship?
I definitely think my experience comes from just my being or having had been in a relationship before, having had been in several relationships before, and kind of seeing a dynamic where it did work, the ones where it didn't work. So I think that's kind of given me a little bit of perspective. I like to think I've lived more of a life than most maybe have at this age, unfortunately. I would say that my qualifications, I definitely agree with you. I want them to be loyal. The worst thing that you can find out is you're talking to somebody and you find out they're talking to somebody else. For me, I know that's happened before, so I get really angry when I find out, especially when someone likes to blame it on, oh, well, you weren't clear enough, or oh, we didn't explicitly agree. No. If you're talking to me, my expectation is that you are only talking to me. I definitely like someone to be funny and to be independent. I also like someone that is okay with, you know, my perspective. You know, whenever I get busy in life and I get like harbored down, I tend to kind of, you know, go a little bit inside of myself, and I become less interactive. I become less chatty. You know, I need someone that is able to understand that I might be going through the thick of it right now and that I will come out of it at some point. So, yeah.
You had any, like, recent relationships you can talk about?
Oh, you know I've had a recent relationship to talk about. I did, actually. Unfortunately, my last relationship, which started, I don't know, say maybe 2 months ago, sadly was brought to an end on my birthday. Of all days, we had to break up on my birthday.
It was a gift, you know. It was a gift from God. Maybe it was like a sign, you know.
The gift that keeps on giving. No, and the sad thing is I like to say it like this. I had to basically break up with myself because, you know, he was not going to do it. He was kind of beating around the bush, and he was going on the ghost me route. And I'm like, homeboy, no. Like, you were going to break up
and
with
me.
And
how old was he?
He's 27. Yeah, so you'd think by then, especially having, you know, he had relationships in the past. He'd had a really extensively long relationship that had ended before he met me. So you'd think he would have, like, kind of gotten that. Like, or he would have, you know, been more of an adult about it and not just gone straight for the ghost me route.
But no, he went for the childish route.
Oh, he definitely went for the childish. Just let me just stop talking to you, and at some point you'll stop talking back at me. So, yeah, so I unfortunately had to go and break up with him on my birthday, of all days. And you know, I'm sure there were probably a lot of signs, a lot of things that I think you don't really think about during the relationship that definitely hit you hard afterwards of, oh shit, that, you know, was definitely a red flag that I think I just kind of missed. So I like to think that having gone through that, it kind of, you know, shifts my perspective a little bit and helps me, you know, gives me another example of what I don't want in a relationship.
Yeah. I mean, myself, my most recent relationship was like in July, and that like ended horribly. And we ended up breaking up because he wanted to date someone else who was on the trip with us. Like, we were up in Chicago.
You took a trip together and he wanted to date someone that was on the trip with you?
So, like, he went up there a like, few days before me just because he had some friends to go see and all that. But
some friends.
I went up with, like, yeah. I went up with two of my friends up to Chicago, and like, you know, we were just having a good time. And then like on the very last night we were there, he was like, hey, can I take you outside? And like, he wanted to talk to me, and I was like, yeah. So like, we went outside and talked to you. He was like, you know, I thought I had feelings, but like, I like these two other people, one who he saw while I wasn't up there, one who was in the same like Airbnb we were at. And I was like, what the heck? So like, he obviously like cheated. And like, it goes more extensively because like, I had found out after him, I started seeing someone else, and like, we had put two and two together, and like, the person I was seeing at that time was the one he cheated on me with. And we were like, oh, so like, you know, the dramatic person, petty person I am, I had sent him a photo from the dude he had cheated on me with phone. And I was like, you got some explaining to do. And like, he panicked and he started blocking me. And he was like, I'm just going to switch schools because of you, because you're causing so much drama. When it was all him. He brought it to himself. He just got mad because he got caught. So
yeah, some people, and that's the thing. And I think that's one of the things that makes me most sad about relationships ending, is there are kind of people that they are so childish, or they are so unhappy with their own lives and the way they are going about things, is that they will definitely, like, especially in the gay community. And I think that's where, like, you know, that's where our expertise comes in. If you haven't really picked up on it yet, you know, me and James, we be flaming homosexuals. And I think, you know, for me, it's really sad when you have someone that's so childish that they will just immediately block you and just pretend like you no longer exist. Because, you know, that's essentially what happened in this relationship. Things were great. You know, he was the type, when we first met, he wanted to go full steamboat ahead. He was talking marriage. He was talking kids. He was saying, I love you, after like a week and a half, which to me, yes, red flag. But at the moment, you know, that was what I had wanted for so long, and I had so many bad relationships leading up to it, that I was okay with him giving me basically everything I wanted all at one time. And I didn't consider that it was, you know, a red flag in any capacity.
Yeah, I feel like the red flag with that relationship, though, was like, I had just broke up with my ex before that, and it was probably like 2 or 3 weeks before I started dating the next person. So I feel like I needed that time to like find myself. And, you know, you were just heartbroken because like the relationship before him, it was like over a year. So, like, I just jumped into that one. And that was probably my mistake. And, like, yes, we've, like, chatted throughout the time. We were, like, friendly with each other. We were friends during the other relationship. But, like, we never took anything, like, romantically. So, I don't know. Maybe I should have, you know, been mature and waited a bit. But, you know, we learned from our mistakes. I've been happily single since July. So, hit me up, y'all.
We are at the point in our lives where maturity has an asterisk at the end of it, okay? Because it's such a loosely based thing at this point in our lives, because, you know, we're still learning, and every relationship's new and exciting and different to some extent. So, you know, there's always a possible chance for learning and to get kind of better afterwards. I mean, because my thing is I'm a very hesitant person in relationships, that I will not go in deep until I feel like I'm sure. And then I go in deep, like deep, deep, like I commit legit. And that was the thing, is that, you know, I felt like, you know, at the beginning, he was way more into me than I was into him. But by the end of it, I was, you know, finally hitting that point of, you know, I really believe all the things you're saying to me. And I was very much in love with him back. And then it just kind of like the rug got pulled out from under my feet. And, you know, we had had some issues. We'd had some intimacy issues up leading up to it. But the things that were going wrong in our relationship were not the things that probably ended the relationship. He was just also kind of a hot mess of a person, and I kind of tried to look past that and probably ignored it to the most part.
Yeah, that's something you gotta watch out for. If they're a hot mess, you better.
If they're a hot mess express, you got to dip.
Yep.
Dip. Yeah, see, that's the thing. That was the problem, is that, you know, that happened, and, you know, I think the culmination of bad things in his life just kind of all just subsided onto me, and as a result, he just ghosted me, essentially. You know, I had to, like, pry a breakup out of him. You know, because at the same time, I think everyone needs a little bit of closure from a bad relationship. You need.
And did you ever get, like, an official breakup from him?
No.
Oh.
The ghosting was the official. And I feel like I've heard the phrase now, like, you know, ghosting is an answer. No answer is an answer.
The heck it is.
And I think, yeah, and I think to an extent, I think I agree with that. I'm not that kind of person. I am very much the type of person that wants an in-person, formal breakup.
Yeah,
like,
because, I mean, you're 22, he's 27. I mean, like, you're basically grown adults, you should be able to be mature and like talk to each other about these
right
issues.
And you know, my biggest thing, and the thing that I go into every relationship with, is the one statement of, if you don't want to be with me, if there's comes a point where you do not want to be with me anymore, please break up with me. I do not want it to get to a point where I am cheated on, or we just end up hating each other. If you're not happy, just tell me. Because if it's fixable,
mature.
Yeah, it's mature, and it's, if it's fixable, you can fix it. If it's not fixable, then you just part ways and you understand that it was nothing that you could have done.
Yeah, see, I wish I can get there. So far, only like one of my exes out of all of those, we're cordial. Like the rest of them, we have them blocked on everything. If I see them, we like get ready to square up.
Oh, see, no, I'm not that. I am more of a verbal, I wage war with words, not with my fists.
I mean, so. Not my fists, but I mean, I have words for them, but you know, being the self-controlling person I am, I just turn away and sigh very loudly.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I think one of the things that and this is kind of a me thing, the thing that I don't like most about myself in relationships is that I can admit I'm the kind of person that kind of gets, you know, like emotionally dependent on that person in some way, shape, or form. You know, I have that kind of attachment or that kind of personality where, you know, I'm striving to make them happy and make them, you know, reassure myself that they want to be in the relationship. And granted, it's probably not the best thing. And, you know, we're still learning, y'all. We're still learning. But, you know, it became that point of when I knew something was wrong, I knew something was wrong. And it was just,
I remember that.
Oh, and I fretted for a week. And yeah, and James can attest, he saw me that whole time. I was just panicked.
And I will admit, I was like, it's fine. You have nothing to worry about being like supportive. And then I ended up being wrong in the end. But, you know, I tried to be supportive.
So yeah, if you need someone to judge your man's or your woman's or whomever's, you can come to me because my gut, it be right. Because for 4 whole days, I knew the minute whenever things started to go wrong, I knew from the conversation. And it's one of those things where I don't keep it to myself. I have to ask them, you know, are we okay? And I flat out said, are we okay? And the answer I got was, yes, we're fine. You're just panicking.
I remember you showed me that. Mm-hmm. Text, yeah.
And then this was a phone call conversation. It was a text conversation. And then the next day he ignored me all day. And then that night, boom, we need to talk. And it wasn't even a legitimate breakup. It was a, my life's a disaster area and I want things to be okay. And I think they're going to be okay, but I'm also not sure. I'm also kind of a mess.
He was scapegoating what he really wanted to say. Probably he was like, what's the least
harmful
way I can break up with
and
you?
I am so confrontational, y'all. So no confrontational idea. That I started to not demanding, but I started prying and I started pressing and putting the pressure on it of like, what do you mean? If you want to be with me, you need to tell me. If you do not want to be with me, you need to tell me. And he said, you know, I do want there to be an us. Motherfucker, you lying. But he told me he wanted there to be an us, and yet he just stopped talking to me. And at one point, you know, he even changed his profile picture on Facebook, which initially had us together.
Yep,
and this was my grand gesture of he changed the profile picture and did not tell me. I saw it because I got a notification that he changed it. And that at that point is when I said, you know, I wish you the best of luck in life. I hope you find your happiness. And he told me I was overreacting.
Yeah, you know, he probably just needed something to escape up, but you handled it the best way you could. And, you know,
we still angry, y'all.
Matters.
Angry.
So once again, we're talking about dating today. So we're going to break down dating into 3 categories. It's going to be A, getting into a relationship, B, being in a relationship, and C, getting out of a relationship and breaking up. So to start up about getting into a relationship, you have to find someone interested in you and you're interested in them, vice versa. So like one way I use that a lot is dating apps. So I use like Bumble, Tinder, and Grindr, which
plenty
is like
of
a
fish.
Hookup app. There's plenty of fish in the sea, and like you just use
Christian
those
Mingle.
absolutely not. But you like use those apps to meet people. You can like match on Tinder and Bumble, and you can just message random people on Grindr. So like you just
Tell us a little bit about your experience in getting men on Grindr, James.
Oh, okay. Just way to go to put me on the spot.
I know. Well, for everyone's reference, I have also used this app, and I like to refer to it. If you've ever used Tinder, I refer to Grindr as Tinder's gay slutty cousin.
Yeah, it really is. So basically, Grindr is basically a hookup app, but like sometimes people are there looking for relationships. So like, you know.
But are they really?
Yeah, honestly. So like people can tap you, but most times they'll message you and they'll say like, hey, you're cute, let's meet up and that. You're like, yeah, cool. You know, make sure you have your friends who have your location in case you get kidnapped or your organs harvested. So, you know, just watch out for that.
Because that's a reality, ladies and gentlemen. That is a reality that me and James are combating right now.
It really is. Sometimes you can like, there's bots where it's just like, follow this link, you just block them. And sometimes
I'm a
there's a
struggling
bunch of,
model.
Honestly, there's like older men who are like, I will pay you $500 a week to hang out with me. I'm looking for a loyal sugar baby. And you're just like, absolutely not. I'm not trying to die. So you block them too. But in the midst of all of that scammery, you can find someone nice. I mean, I met who did I meet on Grindr? I'm trying to think. No one recent, but like back in the day, I met relationships.
Back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day. But recently it's been Tinder because I met my ex before the previous one.
And I think honestly, yeah, and I think that's another thing is that everyone likes to blame, you know, these apps for like modern day problems. And in all honesty, I don't think it's really the apps because the apps are just a means or a platform to kind of find somebody.
Yeah, it's the men in the Metro East.
Right.
Who
it's
are the problem.
It is the Metro East St. Louis homosexual community that is the problem, ladies and gentlemen. But no, everyone likes to blame, oh, where'd you meet that person? On an app. Well, I'm sorry that the, you know, nearest hotspot for homosexuals is at least 35 minutes away, right. And I'm not spending every single night there. You know, it's a platform to meet people. And I'm sure for some, it has been successful. But you also have to consider, what are these people going into it with?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, like I said, Tinder and Bumble are probably where I meet more, like, civil people. So, like, I've gone on dates recently with, like, people from Tinder. We've matched. We've talked on, like, Snapchat every day or whatnot. And then Grindr, it's more just like, hey, you can come into my apartment at, like, 10, 11 p.m. at night.
And James, we'll what are you doing? Oh, my God.
This is why I went to sleep at, like, 6 a.m. yesterday, but, you know.
Oh, nah, my God, James.
I was watching Victorious on Netflix.
So he says. Way to keep it PG.
Yeah.
So what about your experience finding people, like, out in public? Like, how much luck or how many, like, what's the breakdown of people that you actually, like, have come up to you? Because I feel like in this day and age, we kind of hide behind these screens. And that's like the general, like that is the main form of communication with people.
That is true. Let me tell you like one thing. So I never like have people flat out come and tell me. Like I get compliments saying like you look cute and all that blah, blah, blah. But like my most recent ex, I met him actually like in person. It was like
scandalous.
An event that had happened on campus last year. Like we had met and we started talking. I got a snap through a mutual friend. And like we were chatting during that. And then recently, I met someone in person that, like, I am just, like, adoring right now. He works at the Gas Donald's, and, like, I think
and
I told you this story.
For those of you that don't know, when we say Gas Donald's, so in our college town, there is a gas station that is 50% gas, 50% McDonald's. And so, as a trend, us all college students who go to that place religiously, especially when it's late night, you're hungry, it's the only place that's open, we call it Gas Donald's. And so that is what he refers to when he says Gas Donald's.
Yeah.
But keep going. Anyway, you had said you had met him. He works there.
Yeah, he works there because I'm lazy. I don't like waiting in the drive-thru. I don't like going inside. So I like mobile order. So like I was going to that and like he had brought my order to me before. And he was like, hey, blah, blah, blah. Let it be known that I met this person before. It was like maybe 3 days before. I was driving in one of the lots on campus and I had almost hit him. And he had ran into
with your
me.
Car?
Yes, with my car.
Oh, my God.
He was in his car also, so it was, like, going to be a crash. And, like, the next day, he had, like, pointed at me. He was like, you almost hit me with your car. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I was just like, yeah. He was like, it's okay. I just wanted to let you know. So, like, ever since he did that, I was like, wow, I can't believe I'm in love with this man.
Where is the Netflix special on that where you almost hit a man with your car and he falls in love with you? So like, in the good old days.
I only see him, like, you know, once a month now and, like, the times I see him, you know, he's pretty attractive. So people, if you're listening, if you know the man who works at Gas Donald's, who I almost hit with a car, send him my way.
Honestly, I think I really do not have that much luck in going out in public and finding guys just because I feel like most of the time it's really so shameful to kind of assume, you know, someone's interests. So if you think someone might be into you and you kind of pursue it and you get wrongfully shamed out of it, if you were so wrong that they are now offended, you know, it really like hurts your ability to go and actually talk to somebody in public. So for me, the last time I met somebody in public, oddly enough, so I was going to a fundraising event for my sister's radiology technician class and it was at a bar. And her now best friend had invited her brother. And her brother actually is gay. And I had met him there by chance. And we started talking and chatting and, you know, talking about our lives, what we did and all that. You know, I come to find out he was 39 and I was 21 at the time.
Sugar daddy.
I mean, which doesn't bother me. Age difference, hey, I am not one to judge. You know, you love who you love, okay? I all love, no hate here. But, you know, it was the first time I'd met someone where I kind of had that, like, in-person kind of attraction of like, oh, let me, you know, put some moves on. Let me do some flirting. and we'll see where this goes. Let me bust a split in front of you and, you know, just to pick up a quarter because I'm a broke bitch. But no, we had that. I will say, though, following up with that, I did not get his number in person. Okay. We then matched on Tinder the next day.
Yeah, that's usually how it is. Usually, okay, so you can use, like, the means of, like, talking in person. And usually if they're gay or, you know, maybe even straight, they're probably on a dating app nearby. So you can just log into Grindr, Tinder, and a few swipes or scrolls away.
You find them eventually.
You'll find them. So, like, it doesn't always matter about just talking to them. You can just, you know, send them a tap or a...
My problem, though, is it's the cute ones. It's the really cute ones that are so low-key that they're not on the dating apps. And they're just kind of to themselves. Like, that is a hidden population here that I have been desperately trying to, like, tap into as terms of a dating source. That's just because I feel like there's so many cute guys here on campus that they are not on those apps. And rightfully so, because I have, like, retracted from a lot of those apps. I haven't been on Grindr in years. But, like, it's hard to find the ones that are probably the best quality because they're so far away from, like, the public. Mm-hmm. And that's been my experience of trying to find, you know, even having friends, like word of mouth, getting out there in terms of word of mouth, just from your friends. There have been plenty of times where I've asked a friend, oh, there's this really cute guy. I've shown them a picture and they're like, oh my gosh, I have class with that guy. And I'm like, please God, work your magic.
You have better luck, my friends.
Find me a man.
I love them to death, but they are not the best wing people.
See, but the thing is that you're putting your trust out of your hands. Like, you're putting the interaction with that person out of your hands because you don't know what they think of your friend. That's so how true. Many times has it happened where I've asked a friend to go and basically be my wing person, go and pick up this person for me, and then come to find out they actually hated that friend all along, and they told them no just because they hated them.
Or to end up having a crush on that friend, and then you're left to the cur.
That's why I have very limited homosexual friends. James is very, like, he is an elite group of people that I actually speak with, because I am not going to have someone go after a man for me if I feel like there's going to be competition. Can't do that.
That used to be me, but now just about 90% of my friends are on the spectrum of LGBT.
That's true. I mean, I have no problem asking a lady friend of mine to go and basically find me a man's.
Yeah,
I have put
true.
So many people on dating patrol. I literally asked someone, and I messaged a friend of mine as soon as I had broken up, because I knew that I would rebound pretty quickly, because it was a very, like, you know, it was a 2-month long relationship. I care about him, but it was 2 months. It wasn't, you know, I'm not dying. I told one of my friends immediately after, I said, hey, you're going to be back on the dating spectrum for me because I need you to find me a man. So, I mean, it just depends. You know, you really have to use what you got and not really judge other people based on the way that they meet their significant others, because what works for them may not work for you and vice versa.
That is true.
So, yeah. So moving on, honestly, onto that is, you know, we talked about, like, the types of, you know, ways to interact with people. And I think one of the biggest tools in when meeting someone is knowing the art of flirting. The art of flirting is your best friend when it comes to attracting a potential mate.
I feel like people our age, we, like, suck at flirting now because we're just so direct and we're just like...
We just send them... We've turned flirting into emojis.
Yeah,
like,
that's
we have emoticoned flirting, okay? And not to say that it's not still an art form, because I essentially believe it does. It still counts. But you have to kind of know how to, like, sway the conversation in your favor. So, you know... A good example, right now, it's actually a blizzard outside. I refuse to walk out the door. But, you know, if you're messaging someone and they're saying, oh, like, what are you up to today? Oh, nothing. I'm just working from home because of the blizzard. That's when you hit them right back with a, well, damn, it would be pretty nice if I was there cozied up with you right now.
Maybe not that direct. I'd be like, LOL, cool. So, you know, have any plans? You know, you have to work your way. You can't just be like, hey, I'm about to sleep with you. I'm on my way right now.
See, I need to. And see, that's another thing is you have to know where the line is. You get to gracefully tip your toe into the pool without going for a nosedive. So those kind of like those tight little things of, oh, you know, like, it would be nice if we were there cozy up together. Or, oh, your bed must be real warm right now. Or, oh, I would love to be...
I think we have two different means of flirting, man.
So that's true. But I've also worked my way up to it. You know, not everyone can have my same kind of brand of, like, Lizzo-inspired, you know, determination and just audacity. You have to kind of work your way up there, and you have to kind of like know what you're comfortable with. So for me, like saying, you know, hey, like, I'm sure your bed's real cozy right now, or, and I would like to be hanging out with you. That to me, like, that is a normal, like, run of the mill flirtation device of mine.
I get that. I feel like that's more of like a subtle one, trying to be sly. My flirt is just like, come over right now. Let's hang out.
See, you basically have to say what you want, but in every other way that's not exactly those words. So for me, so like if I want someone to come out and see me, or if I want to instigate, you know, a way to go and see them. So if they're saying, oh, what are your plans this weekend? I might hit them back with nothing quite yet, but that's always subject to change.
That's true. You can say that, or usually the more direct way is just like, let's hang out. Let's make plans, because like, I'm direct. I know what I want, when I want it, how I want it. So like,
see, I don't know why, but I feel like in my case, I've always gotten hit with that. Like, you get too direct, and they're just like, skirt.
That is true, but some people like that. So like, right now, I'm talking to someone who is in a relationship, but it's an open relationship.
James.
So like, you know, he didn't tell me this until the other day. I was like, hey, we should hang out. You can like stay tonight. And he was like, I can't do that. I'm in a relationship. I was like, you've never told me this. But like, we laughed about it. It's still funny. And like, we still find each other attractive. And like, we'll meet up one day soon.
See, this is why being honest about your relationships is very important. Honestly. Because we do, what are the worst things that you can experience, like, chasing after a prospective man? Or just prospective, like, relationship in general, is getting in a little bit deep, or like, you know, starting to dip your toes into the water, and you got about waist high, and then you find out, oh, you're in a relationship with somebody else.
We just gonna keep going in the water, because half
see, at that point, ladies and gentlemen, I pull out of the water.
I go deep. I just nose dive in.
See, I monogamy is my thing. I am happy with it.
I mean, I'm not gonna share him. My plan is to take him
James.
That's how I got two exes ago. I just, you can't be a home wrecker if you were invited into the home.
That's actually really funny though, because one time when I was having relationship talks with someone I used to work with who was like 30, no, she was like 50. We were talking about relationships and, you know, what to do if you like somebody that's in a relationship. And the response that I got was, it's not legit until there's a ring on the finger. And it was almost, you know, it was almost shockingly empowering, but at the same time, that was frightening. Because that means that no one is safe in a relationship. There is always someone coming for you.
Listen,
that's frightening.
I feel bad to be, like, the predator, but, like, he's cute. He acknowledged that he, like, finds attraction, so, like, I mean, why not?
Sometimes I honestly wish that, like, Oprah would narrate the gay dating perspective. Kind of like it was Animal Planet, but just, like, in the open bar scene on a Saturday night at about 11 o'clock. I feel like that would be very interesting. I would watch that. And Oprah, if you're listening, please consider. I think it would be a really great investment of your billions of dollars.
Honestly.
Don't sue me. but knowing how to flirt and knowing how to be comfortable flirting is definitely, you know, what you want to do, because the next thing you want is you want to get that date. Okay. You want to get them to agree to see you with their own free time. Only you. Okay. Yep. That is always my goal.
And that like first date is so important. So like, you have to choose it wisely. Like, you can go ice skating because it's winter now. Go see a movie. Go to dinner. Right now, I've been real lazy. My like first dates are just watching Netflix in my room in bed because I'd be lazy.
I refuse to go on any kind of date where I could potentially fall in front of that person. Ice skating is a no-go for me.
Listen, but that like makes a laugh. It's like, you know, embarrassing. You're like exposed. It's like, it adds intimate moments, because like the first time I went ice skating, I didn't know how to go, and I like zoomed. I was getting it. And yes, I fell on my ass many times, but like, it was fun. It was a nice date. So, you know, I'd do it again, especially because I didn't get to go ice skating last winter and I really want to go. So
that's true. I think also like knowing the area you're in and knowing what you like to do is kind of a way to help pair that. Cause the worst thing you want to do is get asked like, what do you want to do? I have no idea what I want to do. That just becomes like this awkward exchange of, well, I think we should do this. And the person has differing opinions. But going out to eat is always a very easy and simple first date choice.
That is true. And a big thing about that is just like, how do you determine like who pays for that if you go on those dates that cost money? Most people, they would do what is it called, like Eskimo or something, where like they each pay for their own. I don't
Eskimo?
Know the
hip
term. That's what I heard.
Going Dutch?
Yeah, that one, I guess.
Eskimo.
I don't speak hip language.
I hear like Eskimo kisses, but I've never heard like let's go Eskimo on this date, because I honestly get kind of scared. I think it is. I think it is going Dutch. I've always said like I let people know like for me like I like to go Dutch on the first date, so I always want to let them know like, hey, you know, if we're going out on a date, I want us both to be under the assumption that we have no pressure and we have no commitment to each other, so we're both just there purely of our own free will, and that's kind of why I like to go on Dutch on the first date.
That's true. I just think I'm a sweet little simple old boy, so I always like
sweet little I simple like
usually
old boy.
Pay most of the time. So like when I was dating someone, we'll call him K for now, when I was seeing him, like I paid for most of the dates when we went out. I paid for that, and also like I hosted him because he was way up in Decatur, so like
hosted him.
Yeah, I was hosting.
Host him as if he were a foreign exchange student, you know. Just passing through. I hosted him for the night.
I'm a sweet boy. I don't mind.
Well, I feel like also, you know, that issue of who pays can also kind of sway like how the date goes,
yeah.
And it gives people the assumption that the date may be like under a different premise, right? Like,
that's true, because if they pay for me, I go back to my friends like, oh my gosh, he paid for me. He was so sweet. Blah blah blah. We had this great time. And I mean, I feel like I'd say the same shit if I, like, paid for myself. But I mean, it's a little more cool when you save money, because once again, we are broke and we like a good bargain.
This is true. This is true. But also, like, I feel like that's my biggest thing is, like, you know, what, like, types of dates have you experienced? Because, like, I've definitely experienced the type of date where, you know, they go out, they pay, and they expected me to put out afterwards. And, you know.
What?
But you know exactly what I mean when I say put out.
You're
put
not
out.
No prostitute, man.
Exactly. I am not no prostitute. But that was the thing, is they expected me to offer my body as payment for their dinner date. And I'm like, I am not paying you with my body for this under $10, like, Chipotle dinner that you got for me, or this Subway sandwich that you purchased for me.
You better shake a leg for some Chipotle.
I mean, honestly, though, but that's, like, the type of date that I experienced, is that, like, they expected payment from me. They expected me to pay them with sex for a date. And it's like, no, you are so, like, off the target here.
I feel like, okay, let me gather my brain cells for this cohesive thought right here. So, like, yes, they, like, pay for it, and, like, maybe in their mind they don't expect sex, but, like, it's a nice plus. Maybe they're trying to, like, woo you and seduce you to do that.
I think the hand on my thigh and then later on my butt was a very clear indicator, and the whispering of, I want to have sex with you in my ear.
Now, see, you missed out that detail.
See, but she didn't ask.
But
the details be important. It was very forward, ladies and gentlemen. It was very forward.
I mean, listen.
And I said, skirt, I have to go home. I have, you know, groceries in the car that have to get home.
My milk is expiring.
I totally used that to get out of a date once. I the worst date of my life, I will just say this quickly, is, you know, it was a 15-minute date. And by the end of it, I called a friend to come get me. And I told him that I had frozen in the car.
Now, one time I was at a date at my house and he, like, showed up unannounced. It happened a lot. This is a different situation than what's happened recently, but, like, I have a lot of situations where men just show up at my house. It's frightening.
He does. It's kind of, like, it's kind of scary.
But this one time, like, a few months ago, he had showed up, and I was like, Lexi, please call me. Like, say your car's broken down or something. So, like, she did that. So, like, I acted like I had to go drive away to go save her in distress. But, like, you know, that's why you have friends. You always keep them in the loop on what's happening, so, like, they can be watching out for you and, like, looking out for you. Because you never know what can happen. Like, I could be dead. You never know.
That's why we always text James, yep, to make sure that we know he's okay. There's a rotating schedule of who texts James when. I am number 6 on the list. So, but yeah, no, honestly though, like, and then another big thing is, how many dates is the right number of dates before you establish that relationship status, or defining the relationship, DTRing?
I don't know. Okay, so I'm really bad at this too, because like I said, when my ex before the most recent one, we'll call him B right now. So when I was dating B, like, the first date was just hanging out, watching Drag Race, and then we ended up having sex, and then, like, 3 days later, we ended up started dating, and, you know, we dated for a year and something, and then after that, we broke up, and then we had met with my most recent ex, we'll call him D for right now, and
I like the simple one-word names.
So, like, we started dating also after we had sex, yeah.
So is sex that determinant for you of this is the stage at which we are now committed to one another?
I don't think so, because, like, sex would be, like, the first date, essentially.
Oh, shoot. Ladies and gentlemen, things have gotten a little interested in heat here in this booth. So, yeah, for me, like, I like to set, like, at least, a 3-date minimum before sex. I'm real old school. Real classy. Oh, I'm a classy. I'm a classy bitch.
We can do it now, before, after.
See, no, I'm very, you know, I want them to work for it. Like, I don't want them to show up and expect to get it.
That's fair.
So I like to put this, like, you know, you have a 3-date minimum before sex. And then I think after date 3, I say after, like, date 4, I feel like it's kind of established. And I think, honestly, being open and honest with that person, too, is a really important factor of just letting them know, like, hey, this is where I'm at right now. Are you also here? Are you not here? Or are you getting there? You know, because that for me is like after that 3rd date, like, you know, this is where I'm at. Like, if I'm only talking to that person, I will let them know, hey, you're the only person that I'm talking to right now.
Yeah. And like I always say, it's like host season. Like, my friends, they support me no matter what. So like my friends, Rachel and Bethany, they're always like, yeah, you can do host season.
Don't you mean open season?
Yeah, I feel that. But yeah, so, you know, right now we're trying to transition out of host season and get into
cuffing season.
Yeah, cuffing season.
Cuffing season.
But, you know, post-season's on standby.
Yeah,
you
no,
know,
for me,
find that.
I definitely think, though, like, I think that 3-date minimum and just honestly keeping that line of communication open is, like, their best defense in establishing when you want that relationship to technically start. Because I feel like that also screws you up is, like, if you're not sure when the relationship started, how do you do these cute little, we've been together for 5 months, but I've been sleeping in with him 2 months before we started dating, so I don't really know what that meant.
You know, that's fair. I mean, sometimes sex isn't all about the relationship. Like, it's not the biggest aspect. But, like,
no.
You'd like to have a nice, intimate
connection physical and emotional connections.
So you just gotta dip your pinky toe in the water to test it out, you know?
In the water?
Yeah, in the water.
In the water. Interesting. Just the tip. no, but, yeah. But, essentially, like, getting into that relationship, though, is an important part. And I think for me, like, when I'm in a relationship, I try my best to please my partner in kind of in every conceivable sense of just, you want to make sure that you are being attentive and you're listening to what their needs are. So, you know, like, keeping things spontaneous, like, you know, obviously you have your own separate lives. Do not get into a relationship if they consume you and all of your life becomes dedicated to them. I cannot tell you how many people I've met to where when they were in a relationship, you never saw them again. They were just gone, MIA. And you did not see them again until they broke up with that person.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, where do you go in all this time? And how can you let this one person, you know, just keep you in the closet for, like, you know, 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
And then you see them again and they've resurfaced and they're, like, you know, acting like nothing ever happened. And it's like, that's not, no, you were, you know, your hair is, like, grown 10 inches. Like, what happened?
But after you, like, ask them the question on, like, if you want a date, hopefully they'll say yes. And then you're like, in a relationship, and now you're like, well, what do I do now?
That's a very frightening concept for many reasons.
It really is. Because
I mean,
now you're like, well, shit, I'm off the market. I gotta tell all my hoes to, you know,
I gotta
find
text
someone else.
I gotta tell the guys on Snapchat, stop snapping me in the morning. Stop sending me the pics. It's not gonna happen anymore. Can't respond.
Yep.
I've had to do that before. Texting people that would send me, like, unsolicited pictures, like, you know.
Listen, I just put on my story and hope they see it.
That's a really good strategy. I think, yeah. I just, like, the ones that I know for sure will send me pictures, I'm just like, hey, just so you know, like, gotta cut that off, I'm seeing somebody. Actually, that reminds me that I should probably message that guy and tell him I'm back on the market now.
for lease.
Open season. for lease for cuffing season. No, but honestly, like, that's a really difficult thing because, you know, you want to be able to be yourself in a relationship.
Yeah, you don't want to be someone else.
Right,
that's,
you want to,
mentally exhausting.
And you want to, like, kind of layer your lives together instead of just trying to basically switch up your whole style into what they're doing.
Yeah, you have to, like, bring in the term, like, you have to live separate lives, but equal. Separate, but equal.
Only in this case.
Yes.
Separate, but equal. Yes, because, you don't want to, like, become that person because you're not that person. You're your own person. You know, and then eventually when you get to that comfortable point, and I think another area and a bridge that people have to cross is that point of which it becomes acceptable to say, I love you. I will say, in my most recent relationship, it came after a week and a half.
Yeah.
It was not the time.
Yeah, I feel like in my past 2 relationships, they both happened within 2 weeks, which, you know, I'm a lover. I'm a Virgo, so I'm just like, yes, I'll give you all the
blame
love
it
in the world
signs.
If you give it to me.
Blame it on the signs.
Shut up. It's the stars.
Blame it on the stars and the signs, because, you know, Virgo
is
a sign.
That is true.
And no, I think for me, like, I don't think there's necessarily a deadline. Like, you have to say it by some point.
Well, listen, I know people who haven't said it after, like, years of dating because,
right,
like, they're that sacred. And, like, those are probably people who will end up getting married because they have that mutual respect and love for each other. But, like, right now, I just want affection. It's cold outside. My apartment be cold.
He needs a human blanket.
Honestly.
No, I think for me, like, honestly, like, if I truly know, and, you know, obviously they say, like, one, infatuation only lasts 6 months. So after that 6 month, you know, when the fire dies out, or, like, that initial fire dies out and you wake up next to that person, you need to ask yourself, are you excited to see them next to you in the morning? Or are you just going,
yeah. That's true, but it's also your responsibility to, like, keep things spicy, you know? You gotta, for sure. Shake a little tail feather. You gotta,
so, you know, you gotta be able to, you know, dress it up, dress it down. You gotta be able to spice things up in the bedroom and out of the bedroom.
Yeah, go on different dates. Like, if you always do the same old, like, go skydiving.
Be adventurous together. But, you know, don't, like, jump into, let's move in together after only having known each other for an entire week.
Shut up. I moved in with my, would be like 3 weeks after dating.
3 weeks. Oh my
God. Yeah.
I would die. Honestly, I respect the people that can, like, uproot their lives like that and just kind of shift. I could not. I would die. Yeah. I would combust.
Everything I do is impulsively, and I'm still living.
But no, but, like, once you get to a point where you understand, like, you are the only person that I want to be with, I think that's definitely okay to say, like, someone I love you at that point. Like, if you know that you're not going anywhere, then say it. Who cares? You know, if the feeling's there, don't fight the feeling.
And if the feelings are there, you have to start thinking about your friends and how they would, like, think about them. And, like, do you mix friend groups or not? I always have the mistake of, like, mixing my friend groups because, like, I want my significant other to be, like, involved in my friends' lives. I want them to like them and all that. But then that becomes a downfall because when they break up, that leaves them the choice to stay with you or stay with him if it's a bad breakup. And ladies, it's always a bad breakup for me, so... Recently, I lost a whole wave of friends, and, you know, thank you, next, blah, blah, blah. They can live their lives. I love
Ariana.
I have new and better friends. No tea, no shade. Just pink lemonade.
That's, ooh, what a statement. What a life. What a time. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and I think mixing your friend groups is important. And especially for me, like, I want my best friend to approve of the person that I'm with just because I'm with that person so much. So you want to make sure that your friend groups are compatible. But I also utilize that as kind of like an emergency backup system and help me gauge out some red flags. So, like, there are always, like, red flags that you need to be on the lookout for. Especially because, like, for me in this last relationship, there were plenty of red flags, and I'm going to list them because there were some. And honestly, my thing was, is not only did I tend to ignore some of them, I tried to change them. I tried to alter him as I tried to alter him as a person when in reality, if I couldn't have accepted him at the beginning as how he was, I probably shouldn't have accepted him at all. So, like, for me, so one of my biggest things is I do not like smokers. That is, for me, like, that is, like, a golden red flag of heck no.
At least the cigarettes.
But he smokes cigarettes. And so I told him, you know, and kind of it was crappy on my part, is I told him, yo, this has to go or I'm going to go. And
that's what I did would be, and he was like, okay, I'll stop. He'll stop for a bit, then I'll start again. It'll spark another fight and all that. So, like,
yeah,
red flag smoking is a pretty big red flag because it just shows I don't care about their health, and I need them to live a long and prosperous life with me.
I need them to die after me, not before me.
Listen, I think they can die before me because I want to live a long and prosperous life.
I mean, I do too, but I do not want to have to deal with losing that person, especially if I went to the point of living with them and didn't kill them.
That's fair.
But I think, you know, getting through those red flags of, like, I knew I didn't like smokers, and he was very dependent on them. And so that, to me, should have been an immediate, you know, you have to really question, is this what you want to kiss? Is this what you want to sleep next to?
Yeah, you want to taste a pack of menthols every time you
sleep. Exactly, and I did, and everything, like, and I know, and I would say to him, like, you know, I can tell you smoked a cigarette because, like, I can taste on your breath. And it's
not an easy thing to hide. It's gross.
No. And, you know, he always said he was going to quit, but, you know, that's something that in the end he didn't end up doing. And then moving on from that, you know, I am not a big drinker. I like to go out. I like to have a good time just like the next guy. I can do the social drinking. He would drink in excess every time he drank. There was never moderation. There was never...
Listen, life be hard, Matt.
Life be hard, James, but sometimes 10 beers ain't gonna solve it.
Oh, no, beer is gross.
Beer is really gross. And I will say, luckily, of all the things, like, he didn't pound, like, mixed drinks or straight up, like, alcohol, but, like, he drank, you know, a lot when he did drink. And so he'd get tipsy, and that's another thing, is, like, you have to realize that if he was driving me somewhere, I have to now gauge if he's safe enough to drive me home. And for me, that's a safety thing.
I always have an established DD when we get there. I'm like, who is driving?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, finger guns up. Who's going to take this responsibility because I'm not doing it? But no, like, looking out for those red flags, you know? And then, you know, when we first started having some intimacy problems, you know, when we talked about it, you know, he said that he was patient, that everything was okay, and that we were going to work it out. But then he kept bringing it up. He keep repeating that it was a problem. He kept repeating things. And it's like, you have to know what they're okay with and what they're not okay with.
That's true. One other red flag is just, like, if they're independent. I know I said this earlier, but, like, I'm, like, a caregiver. If, like, someone's a lost cause or something, I'm, like, trying to fix them when I can't even fix my damn self. But, like, if they're not independent,
James is a
you're,
caring
like,
host.
Honestly, I'm a good hostess. Hire me for your parties. But, so, like, I just throw all of this love, money, attention at them and, like, put everything I'm doing aside for them just because I like seeing other people thrive, like, forget about me driving for the time being. I mean, I'm still driving, y'all. Don't think I'm dying in the curb or something. But, like, I just throw a lot of attention. That gets exhausting because a relationship should be about compromise, like, making each other better, not just focus on one person. So, like,
yeah.
I would say the past two exes, they both were, like, lost causes, and I just tried to throw myself at them to help them. And, like, now I look for independence when I talk to people. I am, like, are you building your 401k or not?
I mean, hey, you know what? If the place of your career is going to ask you those questions, I'm going to ask you those questions too. Honestly. Especially if I'm going to be with them longer than they're going to be in their career. These are things you got to know. You got to know. Sign the prenup. And ask for it if you don't have one. If you don't know what that is, look it up. You need it.
Just a pre-prenup.
Yeah, but the thing is, but those red flags, you know, ultimately those end up compiling into a breakup. And so for me, a normal breakup is, you know, you meet, you might have a feeling that something's wrong, but you meet, you discuss, and you just flat out say, I don't think this is working. I am not happy. Whether or not it's your fault, my fault, it may not be anyone's fault. You may just not be compatible. But if things are not working and things are, you know, if you're not happy and they're not making you happy, you need to know that because then you're just wasting your time. So for me, a normal breakup is just we meet, we discuss it, and we end on mutual terms. We may not be friends right away, but we at least leave it in a perspective of we could eventually, once we get past the initial kind of shock of being broken up, that we could be friends. And that, for me, with this last guy, was not the case. We could not be friends.
Yeah.
Mostly because he ghosted me. Mostly ghostly? I don't think so. Like, no.
Casper who?
Casper who? He was not the friendly ghost, okay? But, you know, that's something you have to be aware of. And I think, you know, it gets even more complicated because I've never lived with, you know, a significant other. I've never had that shared space. It gets even harder when you live together,
it
right,
really
James?
It really does. Like, I've lived with, like, one of my exes, and, like, let me tell you how hard it was to, like, separate and all that. So, like, we were broken up for a bit. We're like, we had two bedrooms. I was like, sleep in there. We had a bed in there. He was like, nah, I'd still sleep in this room because I paid for the damn mattress pad. I was like, take the damn mattress pad then. I can sleep on this hard mattress. But, like, he said no. So we still slept in the same bed every night. And then,
oh,
like,
my God.
Yeah, right. It was horrible. Like, he's texting his hoes. I'm over there moping around saying, oh, no, life is nothing.
Woe is me.
Yeah, woe is me. And, like, I'm just being sad watching Game of Thrones. I don't even like that show. Sorry to all your fans out there. So, like, that's all happening. Like, we had animals together. We bought a lot of shared things together. And, like, so anyway, I was being hospitalized because life be hard. And, like, I get back, and, like, I have to leave my apartment because he had broke the lease. So, like, the lease is broken. My emotional support animal is gone. I miss Oliver so much. But, so, like, everything of mine is gone. The couches my mom gave me. And, like, I just had to pack up my few little suitcases and get what I needed to go. And I moved on to campus and all that. Well, I stayed with a friend for a bit. Well, an old friend. We're not friends anymore because, you know, they chose the side of evil. But,
that, you know, that once great good versus evil story.
Honestly.
So I hope that friend's not listening. If you hear a smashing into the studio during the podcast, just know that person heard and they came here for vengeance.
They're on their way. And listen, Cardi B once said, you can pull up, you can get it. So, so I mean, I'm here. Find me. But anyway, so, like, that's probably a more extreme breakup where the lease is broken up. But if you do actually break up, you have to find a way to, like, stay at a friend's or something to be cordial because, like, you still have friends and all that. So, like, equally divide what you paid for. Be civil about it. Don't be immature. Like, I think that was also my problem. I was immature about this. So, like, when I was going to get my stuff, I was like, I'm taking this. I'm taking my microwave because I paid for it. So I was taking everything I had, like, remotely paid for. So, like, just don't be petty. Be mature.
Yeah, and also, like, but understand and respect that, like, if you didn't pay for something and it's truly not yours, you
leave
have
it.
No claim to it.
Exactly.
You really don't. And I think, and also another perspective, like you staying with friends, you know, when we talked about integrating your lives together, you and your significant others and your friends, you know, that becomes even harder if you then break up, because then your friends are going to feel like they have to pick a side, yep. Especially if you started all off as friends.
Oh, and at the end of the day, they're always like, I'm not going to pick a side. I'm going to say equal. And that's never the truth, y'all. They will pick a side faster than a pin can drop on the floor.
There is always a side. And, you know, sometimes you may be on the wrong side. Like, I'm not saying that the person that goes, whoever, you know, both sides might have the same perspective of I'm right. Someone's wrong to some extent. Mm-hmm. You may not be 100% wrong, but you can be 50%
wrong. And,
like,
I can admit thoroughly saying, like, hey, I've done something wrong, and, like, I'm facing the repercussions. I am dealing with it. But, like, some people are just like, nah, F James, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, oh, the immaturity.
I'm the one behind the scenes throwing the F-bombs at James. He just hasn't realized it yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, but like, and you know, and knowing how to cope then after that breakup, you know, for me, like when I went, I mean, granted, it was also on my birthday, so I did a lot of problem drinking that night.
Yeah, you did.
Mostly, I will say notably, I did reconnect with my grandmother. We drank together. She is 70 years old, but she can still get it. So me and grandma were both hungover the next day, and it was a great time.
Popping back shots.
Oh, them dollar drinks at Applebee's. Applebee's, if you hear me, sponsor the show. Okay. I love you. But no, knowing how to cope with that, obviously in that case, I was not coping well. You know, and for me, like being that kind of person that can get emotionally dependent on my significant other, coping for me gets really hard because last week I had no energy. I had no motivation. I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to mope and I wanted to sleep and I didn't want to talk to anyone about it.
That's true, but you just gotta get yourself up, you know, you have to cope with what happens, because at the end of the day, most likely you won't get back together, and if you do, learn from your mistakes, don't get back with your exes.
Yeah, that's true.
But like, you know, watch some Netflix, eat some ice cream in bulk, you know.
I always like to tell myself, you can give yourself a, like, you can take a day and make that your pity party day,
yep.
But you have to hike up your skirt.
A day?
Yeah.
I've been giving myself pity party month.
Oh, see, but the thing is at some point, that month just starts to hurt you, not the other person.
I mean, not really. I'm enjoying myself watching
that's
Netflix,
fair. You can still be
cream,
productive.
Going out,
I guess,
partying.
If you can still be productive, that's one thing. But for me, I'm the kind of person that I can't be productive. So gotcha. At some point, I take it as I can give myself today. After today, I have to hike up my big kid pants, and I need to actually start moving on and processing rather than just trying to hide from it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I'm just odd about this. The moment, like, I'm out of a relationship, like, whole season's back on. We're sending a mass email back to everyone saying, we're back open for business, y'all.
Open season.
Yep.
open season. Where's Oprah? I'm still waiting for this narration to come. but yeah, but then in all honesty, and the sad thing is after all that, you just then start the cycle all over again and finding a new potential mate to then chase after. So, I mean, it's a really long process. And
it is.
Sadly, it can actually happen pretty quickly. Like, you can have that all happen in the span of weeks.
It can, but also, like, hopefully, if you keep repeating that cycle, you can find the one and you'll just be stuck on that step two of just being in a relationship and you're being happy, healthy, and hopefully that leads to marriage, no divorce, because we don't do that up in here. And, like, you know.
Prenup.
For us single people out there, there is someone out there for us. And we are wishing the best for those who are in a relationship. Like, you're doing the damn thing. And us single people are trying to do the damn thing.
Hell yeah. But in all honesty, that just brings us to what our next week's show will be about. Friendship. It's hard.
Because friends are going to be there for you at the end of the day.
And that's true. But only in some cases.
Yep.
But thank you all so much for tuning in, and we wish you the best of luck in all of your relationship endeavors. If you ever need some flirting advice, you know where to find me. But for those of you that aren't and don't need my help, please tune in next time for It's Hard.
Yep, and just remember, if you're single, whole season is still happening. And if you're in a relationship, enjoy cuffing season.
Open season. I always call it open season.
Open season.
Have a good night, everybody.